So,
prayer. And also, I didn't tell you when this happened, the day that happened, just before that.
No, go ahead, prayer request, go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say that they were grilling chicken in their backyard on the gas grill.
Yeah.
Caught on fire right near the house.
The grill?
The gas grill.
Oh!
And Dad had to turn it off, shut the gas off.
Wow!
And luckily it didn't explode. So that's he went out to get pizza, and then that's when Micah fell.
Wow.
So they need prayer because I think they're under attack.
They need prayer because you're right. They're under attack because their ministry is geared. It's hope for kids. Hope for kids. The devil does not want kids coming to Jesus. Mm-hmm. And that's exactly what they're accomplishing. Many, many kids are coming to Jesus through their ministry. And you're right, El. They are under demonic attack because of that. And we need to pray a stronger hedge of protection round about that family. Little Micah with a broken wrist. That poor little boy is only 5. But pray that that would heal properly. And what a trooper. Didn't even cry once after breaking his wrist. Well, yeah, praise the Lord, folks. Tonight, for our final hymn, let's open up to 185. We'll stand for our final hymn. 185. It was love that lifted us out of the dregs of sin, and it was the love of God in Jesus Christ. We're going to sing all 3. Love lifted me. Yeah, and we'll have some more prayer requests after service for a church prayer meeting tonight, too. I was sinking deep in sin, far from the peaceful shore, very deeply stained within, sinking to rise no more. But the master of the sea heard my despairing cry, for on the waters lifted me, now safe am I. Love lifted me, love lifted me, when nothing else could help. All my heart to him I give, ever to him I cling. In his blessed presence live, ever his praises sing. Love so mighty and so true merits my soul's best songs. Faithful love and service due to him belong. John 3:16, when nothing else could help. John 3:16, souls in danger looked above, Jesus completely says, he will lift you by his love, out of those angry waves. He's the master of the sea, billows his will obey. He, your savior, wants to be saved today. But love lifted me, love lifted me, when nothing else could help. I'm so glad it did, church. Please be seated tonight. Great singing for a Wednesday. And it's so good to come together out of the hustle and bustle of the work week. I've been working extra hours this week as my other half is in Florida for a week with our youngest son and his family. So I figure I'd put in some extra hours, make a few extra dollars. Always a good thing. Well, praise the Lord, folks. Tonight, let's grab our Bibles at this time. And we'll get right to our Wednesday evening message tonight as we've begun a brand new series. Last Wednesday, we began a brand new series in the book of Ruth. Now we're going to continue. It's just 4 short chapters in the book of Ruth, probably for 7 or 8 weeks, and we'll be done. But there's just such great spiritual truth involved in the book of Ruth. So I want us to really be blessed together as we study over this next period of time and learn all of the spiritual portraits that the Holy Ghost paints concerning the nation Israel here and concerning the Bride of Christ. This little book encompasses the whole gambit, and what a blessing it is. Now, last week, our first message was Naomi's affliction. Naomi's affliction. Who does Naomi represent? Israel. Remember those nine names and who they represent. Very important, because as we go through the book, you're going to see through each character why they represent that particular person or persons. And Naomi's affliction is Israel's affliction. Naomi was scattered out of her promised native land of Israel, and she had gone into a far country, right? That has happened with Israel. They have been scattered for some 2,000 years. The regathering in unbelief has begun, but the second worldwide regathering will be a regathering in belief, where all Israel shall be saved. But here in Ruth chapter 1, we covered the first five verses last week. Naomi, remember, went down to Moab, where her sons married Moabite women named Ruth and Orpah. Elimelech, who represents what? The law of Moses, died. Notice Naomi doesn't come back to the promised land until Elimelech is dead. We've got to become dead to the law to reap the blessings of the promised land, right? Elimelech cannot live and with grace. Okay, now, we pick it up tonight in verse number 6. Elimelech dies. Mahlon dies. Chilion dies. She's left widowless and sonless now. All she's got is her two daughters-in-law. Verse 6, then she, Naomi, arose with her daughters-in-law, that she might return from the country of Moab. For she had heard in the country of Moab how that the Lord had visited his people in giving them bread. Wherefore she went forth out of the place where she was, and her two daughters-in-law with her. And they went on the way to return unto the land of Judah. And Naomi said unto her two daughters-in-law, go, return each to her mother's house. The Lord deal kindly with you, as ye have dealt with the dead and with me. The Lord grant you that ye may find rest, each of you, in the house of her husband. Then she kissed them, and they lifted up their voice and wept. And they said unto her, surely we will return with thee unto thy people. And Naomi said, turn again, my daughters. Why will ye go with me? Are there yet any more sons in my womb, that they may be your husbands? Father in heaven, how we thank you for these verses tonight. And we thank you for the topic tonight of Naomi's prayer. Naomi's prayer is found within these verses, O God, and it's a great one. Lord, we thank you that just as Naomi returned to the land of Israel, so shall the people of Israel, the elect nation. And Lord, you will set up a glorious messianic kingdom for 1,000 years in Israel, and they shall rule the world, the Jews. We thank you for that, Father. And we thank you that we, as your bride, will co-reign with you. Oh, we're so blessed tonight to be the people of God, to be saved and born again, redeemed from sin through Jesus' blood. Lord, we thank you for this passage tonight. We ask you to bless us and teach us some glorious truths from it. In Jesus Christ's name, amen. Amen. But folks, in these verses tonight, we have a most precious prayer being offered up by Naomi concerning Ruth and Orpah. And as we'll see later in our studies of the book, this prayer would be answered on the part of one of the girls, but not for the other. The one thing that made the difference was that one of them would have faith in the God of Israel, while the other would not. Let's observe tonight from these verses a few things. First, notice here in our text that God remembered his people. God never forgets his people, you know. Look at verse 6. Then she, Naomi, arose with her daughters-in-law, that she might return from the country of Moab. For she had heard in the country of Moab how that the Lord had visited his people in giving them bread. Verse 7. Wherefore she went forth out of the place where she was, and her two daughters-in-law with her. And they went on the way to return unto the land of Judah. Now, very interesting here, because we notice in verse number 6 that God remembered his people even all the way down in Moab. You can't run, you can't get away from God, you know. Once you become one of his, you belong to him and he belongs to you forever. I love that. Now, Naomi, typifying the nation of Israel, God is not through with the physical seed of Abraham today. And in 1948, when the UN declared national sovereignty to Israel again, after 1,900 years of exile, Israel became a nation. It was born in a day. And the returning of the Jews began to occur, a return in unbelief. Now get the picture. God brings an end to the famine in Israel, verse 6, giving his people bread. Naomi heard that the Lord visited his people, so immediately she arises to return to the Holy Land. This Israel will do. Listen, folks, God is going to visit his people during that tribulation period. All Israel will hear, and all Israel who survived the 7 years will become born again. And that on that great day, they will be redeemed by the Messiah, and they all will return. Supernaturally, angelic assistance will be involved. You'll see Jews flying through the air being carried by angels. This is what the Bible teaches. Now, go with me to Hosea chapter 2. Hold your place in Ruth. Because God never forgets his believing people, no matter where they may be. I like that. In Hosea, Hosea is a really good prophetic book of the Bible. You'll find it just before Joel. Hosea, and go to chapter 2. I want to preach through the book of Hosea at some point, just after Daniel. Hosea chapter 2. Look with me. This is a prophecy. Look with me in Hosea 2 at verse 6. Therefore, this is God speaking. Therefore, behold, I will hedge up thy way with thorns. It's not going to be pleasant, Israel. And make a wall that she shall not find her paths, she being Israel. And she shall follow after her lovers, but she shall not overtake them. And she shall seek them, but shall not find them. Then shall she say, I will go and return to my first husband, for then it was better with me than now. Notice here that verse 7 prophesies that of Jews, Israel, that they will return to their first husband. That's the Lord God of Israel. They will come to their senses and they will realize their idols can give them nothing. Romans chapter 11 in the book of Romans. All through the Bible, the scripture teaches the return and regeneration of the elect nation. In Romans chapter 11, verse 1, I say then, hath God cast away his people? Paul says, is God done with Israel forever? Look at the answer. God forbid, for I also am an Israelite. So Paul says, God's not done with me, and I'm a Jew. Of the seed of Abraham, of the tribe of Benjamin. God hath not cast away his people, which he foreknew. Wot ye not what the scripture saith of Elias, how he maketh intercession to God against Israel? And Lord God said, I've reserved unto myself 7,000 who've not bowed the knee. God's not done with Israel, folks. If you're still in Romans, Romans chapter 11, look at verse 11. I say then, have they stumbled, Israel, that they should fall? God forbid. But rather through their fall, salvation is come unto the Gentiles. I love this verse. It includes me. For to provoke them, the Jews, to jealousy. Drop down to verse number 12. Now if the fall of them, Israel, be the riches of the world, spiritual riches, and the diminishing of them, Israel, the riches of the Gentiles, how much more their fullness? He says, if God could so bless the world by Israel's fall, how is he going to bless the whole world by their restoration? Wow! Drop down with me to verse 25. This is so good. God's not forgotten his people. Verse 25, for I would not, brethren, that ye should be ignorant, that's unknowing, of this mystery, lest ye should be wise in your own conceits. Some Christians are. They think that they're the Almighty or something. They think that they've replaced Israel. That blindness in part has happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. Now, you have to read between the lines in Scripture. Verse 25 is an indication that, look at what it says, blindness in part has happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles. That is a statement suggesting something. You see it in verse 25? What it's suggesting is that when the fullness of the Gentiles come in, all Israel will believe. You see that? It's so clear if you just read it rightly. 26. And so, all Israel. You know, I used to read this verse and say, that doesn't mean all Israel, Lord, does it? It does. The Lord had to show me that it does. It means every breathing Jew on that day will be saved. What a thought. And so all Israel shall be saved. As it is written, there shall come out of Zion the Deliverer, capital D, Messiah, and shall turn away ungodliness from Jacob. There'll be a national repentance, and they will receive their Messiah. All right. Now, folks, listen carefully. God did indeed remember Naomi and her family down in Moab, and he's calling her back to the promised land, back to the place of blessing, back to the temple, the true worship of the living God. You see it? And today, God is calling Israel back. And many are answering the call. We've got saved Jews all over the world. Not enough, but we've got some, and we're getting more. I love that. When a Jew gets saved, he's called a complete Jew. Glory to God, because he's spiritually saved as well as a physical Jew. Now, Al Bryant describes God's concern for his people this way, and I quote, Bryant said, amongst the first glimpses we get of our great God is that of a seeker. In Genesis 3, verse 9, God cries, Adam, where art thou? And oh, how important it is that we rightly comprehend this seeking. For you can never properly preach this text, preacher, if you read it as if God were a policeman. You must read it as though God were a broken-hearted father looking for his lost child. Amen? That's our God. He's a broken-hearted father looking for his lost child. He doesn't have a bully whip. Beloved, God remembered Naomi. Point number one. But secondly tonight, something else. Notice that she prays for God to recompense them. Look at verse number 8. Ruth 1, verse 8. And Naomi said unto her two daughters-in-law, go, return each to her mother's house. The Lord deal kindly with you, as ye have dealt with the dead, Mahlon, Chilion, Elimelech, and with me. Now, folks, let me make a statement before I get into this verse. Anybody who does anything for a physical Jew is not going to lose his or her reward. Okay? The Bible proves this over and over and over. And Messiah himself said in Matthew 25, when you did it unto the least of one of these my brethren, you did it unto me. Okay? And you'll not lose your reward. Now, what am I saying? I'm not saying to minister to Jews to get rewards. I'm saying if you do, you will. That's the Bible teaches us throughout the entire canon of Scripture. Now, Orpah and Ruth had dealt kindly with Naomi, who represents Israel. They loved her. They took care of her. They fed her, right? They were good wives to her sons. They were good daughters to her. And Naomi understood the principle of Scripture that God rewards those who deal well with his people, whether they're Jewish or Christian. Proverbs chapter 11. Hold your place again in Ruth. Coming right back. But in Proverbs chapter 11, we have a great, great proverb, as so many of them are. And we can learn so much from the book of Proverbs. In Proverbs 11, two verses I want you to see. Look at verse 24. 11:24. There is that scattereth, that's giveth, and yet increaseth. And there is that withholdeth more than is meet, but attendeth to poverty. The liberal soul, that's one that gives, shall be made fat, and he that watereth shall be watered also himself. This is a principle of Scripture. You know, there's certain physical laws in the universe, like if I drop this offering plate, it will definitely fall. That's a physical law. There are spiritual laws in the universe that cannot be violated. They operate on a consistent basis. One of them is this. If you give to a believer, or if you give to a Jew, a physical Jew, you'll be blessed for that. The Bible simply teaches this, okay? Now, God, why? Because God is a recompenser. What did Naomi pray? That God would recompense them for being kind to her. And he will. I didn't say they'd be saved. It doesn't mean they'll be saved. Do you know that lost people can be rewarded by God? Yeah, that doesn't mean they get saved. They might, but you don't know. Listen now. In Hebrews 10, verse 35, don't turn there. The Bible says, cast not away therefore your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward. In other words, God will reward you, but because your confidence is in him. Amen? Now, Jesus said, he that hath given a cup of water in my name to one of these that belong to me shall in no wise lose his reward. See it? It's all through the Bible. One day a worldling was trying to get a Christian to do some work for him on a Sunday. The Christian humbly said, sir, I'm sorry, but I never work for anyone on the Lord's day except the Lord. Oh, really? Said the worldling. And how is the pay? Well, said the Christian, the pay may not always seem to be so good, but you can't beat his retirement plan. You can't beat the Lord's retirement plan. You got a mansion in glory forever. How about that for a reward? How about that for a payday, huh? Beloved, he is a great rewarder. He recompenses those who do well. But thirdly, she also prays for God to give them rest. Look at this. Back in Ruth chapter 1, she also prays for God to give them rest. I like this. Verse 9. The Lord grant you that ye may find rest, each of you in the house of her husband. Then she kissed them and they lifted up their voice and wept. It was a precious time. You know what you and I need, beloved? We need rest. We need rest. Why? Because serving the Lord is not easy. Serving the Lord requires great grace and patience and strength from the Holy Spirit. And occasionally, we need to get alone and rest with God. Now listen, did you know that rest is God's gift? Rest is a gift of God. If God does not grant you rest, you won't be able to sleep. You won't have no peace. You won't have no rest of heart, we're talking. If you have a content and satisfaction in your outward condition, it's because of God granting you that. Beloved, we need to let God be the rest of our souls and not look for any rest or comfort from the things of this world. Look at chapter 3 of Ruth. Chapter 3. Which when we get there, you're going to love. Look at verse 1. Then Naomi, her mother-in-law, said unto her, my daughter, Ruth, shall I not seek rest for thee, that it may be well with thee? And verse 2, she mentions Boaz, because Boaz could give Ruth rest. Only our great Redeemer, folks, can give us rest. Back to verse chapter 1, verse 9. The Lord grant you that ye may find rest. Wow, what a great prayer that is. Go to 2 Samuel chapter 7. It's one thing we need. That's God's people. We need rest occasionally. In 2 Samuel, these preachers that preach, you know, if you're not out every night, door knocking, and then you're not out Saturday morning at 6 a.m. for men's prayer meeting, and if you're not, you know, this and that and the other, there's no rest in that kind of a Christianity, folks. I believe in working for God and serving God, but you've got to have family time too and rest time. Rest time. Look at 2 Samuel 7, verse 1. And it came to pass when the king sat in his house, and the Lord had given him what? Rest round about from all his enemies. That the king, this is David, look at your verse, drop down to verse 8. Now therefore, so shalt thou say unto my servant David, thus saith the Lord of hosts. David told the Lord he wanted to build him a house, a temple. I took thee from the sheepcote, from following the sheep, to be ruler over my people, over Israel. And I was with thee whithersoever thou wentest, and have cut off all thine enemies out of thy sight, and have made thee a great name, like unto the name of the great men that are in the earth. Moreover, I will appoint a place for my people Israel, Jerusalem, and will plant them, that they may dwell in a place of their own, promised land, and move no more, neither shall the children of wickedness afflict them any more. Picture of the millennium, as before time. And as since the time that I commanded judges to be over my people Israel, time of the judges, and have caused thee, David, to rest from all thine enemies. Also the Lord telleth thee that he will make thee an house, an everlasting house. The Lord said, David, I've got good news. Now remember, verse 1 of that same chapter, it came to pass when the king, David, sat in his house, the Lord had given him rest from all his enemies. You know what, folks? Sometimes we need a rest from the enemy. Every one of folks, this is serious. Every one of us get attacked by the enemy. The demons of Satan are after you because you belong to Jesus Christ and he hates your Savior. And we need rest sometimes from that old split foot. The Lord knows just how to give us that grace and that peace and that rest that we need in our souls. Amen? He knows how to strengthen that hedge and keep the devil away at times. That's such a blessing for us. D.L. Moody said, rest and peace that passes our comprehension is not a quality of life which excludes us from the stresses and strains of human society. Neither is it a sheltered withdrawal from all the wrongs that rack our world. Nor is it a cloistered existence in which we're cut off from the calamities and conflicts of our generation, but the place of peace, Moody said, to which God our Father has called us, is that intimate inner acquaintance with himself and with his Son, whereby we come to know so assuredly, O Father, you are here and all is well. All is well. Moody said, I find rest in my God, not in people. She prays for God to give them rest. But something else, fourthly, they show an interest in the people of God. Let's get back to Ruth, chapter 1. Notice that the girls show an interest in God's people. Look at verse 10. And they, that's Orpah and Ruth, said unto her, Naomi, surely we will return with thee unto thy people. Unto thy people. Now, at first glance, it seems that the girls want to convert to Judaism. They said, we want to be with you and your people. We want to be one of you. How many times have you heard this? I want to be a Christian. I'm going to come to church every Sunday, Pastor. I'm going to give out tracts. I'm going to have a prayer ministry. Now, listen carefully. These two Moabites are professing a resolution to adhere to Naomi and to her people. That's Israel. But one of them is not serious, as we're going to find out further in this chapter, okay? In other words, a lot of people say things that they don't really mean with the heart. Now, listen, strong passions without a settled judgment can only produce wavering resolutions. And how many people today, beloved, make the same mistake? They say, oh, I'm going to become a Christian. I am going to go to that church. I am going to get a Bible and read. I'm going to get saved. And they never do, because they're not serious. In Naomi, listen, these gals saw something real. Don't you think they were watching her? They saw her praying to the God of Israel and how passionate she was in her prayer life. They recognized that Naomi had something that they didn't have. You know why I got saved? Because my sister, I came to the realization that my sister had something I didn't have. Jesus Christ. And I realized it one day. And it hit me like a ton of bricks. And I said, Lord, I finally get it. Ellie, my sister, is one of your sheep, and I'm not. That's what I said. And I got saved. Why? Because you see the Lord in someone else. And you're drawn to that. Now, they recognized that Naomi had something special between her and God. And they didn't. That was a personal relationship with the true and living God Naomi had. Hastily they say, we want to be like you. We want to be one of your people. We want to be with your God. But look at verse 15. Verse 15. And she, Orpah, said, Naomi said to Ruth, behold, thy sister-in-law is gone back unto her people and unto her gods. Return thou after thy sister-in-law. Of course, Naomi is testing Ruth there. Because she wants to know if she really means it. She said, why don't you just go with her? Back to your gods. She wants to see if Ruth is sincere. But notice in verse 15, Orpah went back. She said, I don't really want to go. I didn't really mean it for real. You mean pack my suit? No. I got my own place here in Moab. She didn't mean it. Now, in Isaiah 48, flip over quickly and hold your place again to Isaiah chapter 48. In Isaiah chapter 48, notice the wording by the Holy Ghost here through Isaiah's pen. Isaiah 48, verse 1. Hear ye this, O house of Jacob, which are called by the name of Israel, and are come forth out of the waters of Judah, which swear by the name of the Lord, and make mention of the God of Israel, but not in truth, nor in righteousness. For they call themselves of the holy city, and stay themselves upon the God of Israel, the Lord of hosts is his name. In chapter 48, verse 1 and 2, Isaiah is addressing the false professors of Judaism, saying, you guys mention the name of Jesus Christ. Sounds like a person who says they're a Christian, but they're really not. But you don't live it. Look what it says, not in truth, nor in righteousness. They were false professors, okay? And this is what Orpah was. She was a false professor. Now, listen carefully. Jesus said, you need to count the cost if you really want to be one of my disciples. If you really want to become a Christian, step back for a moment and think it through. You're going to have the devil for your enemy. You're going to be hated by the world. You're going to need to pray and pray some more. You know, it doesn't sound too attractive, does it? But it's worth it! Jesus says, you want to follow me? They're going to hate you. Wow. Recently on an airplane flight from Los Angeles to Chicago, there was seated next to each other a noted astronomer, and I wonder if it was Carl Sagan. I don't know. But he sat next to a Baptist preacher. The astronomer said to the preacher, well, I believe in God, but I don't have much interest in theology. My religion is basically summed up in this. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. Well, said the preacher, I've had little time for astronomy. My view on astronomy is basically summed up like this. Twinkle, twinkle, little star, how I wonder where you are. Listen, the preacher was simply telling him, you're following and worshiping a bunch of stars, and you don't even know where they are. He said, that's as ridiculous as you saying that God is not real and that you refuse to get saved, you know? That's like that astronomer. He showed an interest in God, but not sincerely. That was Orpah. Fifthly, and finally tonight, notice, Naomi asks a very important question. Back to Ruth chapter 1, look at verse 11. Naomi asks a very important question. And Naomi said, turn again, my daughters. Why will ye go with me? Are there not yet any more sons in my womb that they may be your husbands? Notice in the middle of this verse, the question pointed, why will you go with me? You know, some people want Jesus Christ so that they can get rich, that they can get a fleet of jets to fly them all over the world whenever they want to. Sound familiar? Some people want Jesus Christ so that they can have the biggest stadium church in America. These are wrong. Why will you go with me? Ruth and Orpah. Now, folks, yes, indeed, this is a critical question. Naomi turns to the girls and she says, what is your motive for coming with me? Why do you want to come with me? Do you really want to find God? Do you really want to become an Israelite? Perhaps you're interested in my mortgaged estate being redeemed in a comfortable settlement in Bethlehem. Or maybe you'll come with me in order to find a rich Jewish husband. Did you know, ladies, that there are guys who come to church and pretend to be Christians because they have their evil eye on some pretty unsuspecting Christian gal? I've seen it. But what's worse than that? Some women go, because there's a cute guy in that church. I'm telling you the truth. Do you know why this health, wealth, and prosperity gospel today is so popular? Because people want God for the wrong reasons. I'm telling you, we got churches full of people that aren't saved, that are sending their $1,000 seed money to get rich. Or to be cured of some disease, or whatever it might be. It's the wrong motive. Proverbs chapter 21 again. Look in Proverbs chapter 21, a powerful proverb. Oh, how we need to examine our motives for what we do. Why will you come with me? What is your heart's intent? Proverbs 21, look with me at verse 27. The sacrifice, now this is a person going to church. The sacrifice of the wicked is abomination. How much more when he bringeth it with a wicked mind? They're sitting in the church. They're thinking evil. They're looking at the guy's looking at the gal's figure next to him in the pew. I mean, this stuff's going on, folks. Why? Because they're not sincere. They're there for the wrong reason. They're there for the wrong reason. They're not there for Jesus Christ. They're not there to glorify the Son of God. They're there for some selfish motive. And it will never work. Years ago, a Christian man was trying to witness to an atheist on the street. Suddenly, another man passed by, and the atheist said, "That man is the founder of our atheist club." "Why, that's impossible," said the Christian. "That's Mr. Jones. He's a very influential member of our church." "Oh, yes, I know that," said the atheist. "But his inconsistencies have driven many of us into atheism, and that led to our founding of our club." "Mr. Jones found the Atheist Club, a God-carrying member of First Baptist Church." Why? Because of his inconsistencies. See? He was going to church, yeah. He had a name for himself, yeah, for the wrong reason, for the wrong motive. "Why will you come with me?" Naomi asks. She wants them to say, she's not going to put it in their mouth, but she wants to hear, "I want the God of Israel. I want to know your God. I want to worship. I want the truth, and I want to be forgiven." Wow. We'll see next week that one of them was sincere. Father in heaven, how we thank you tonight for these verses in Naomi's prayer. It was a good one. And Lord, it was one that was answered. I thank you for that. And Father, we just ask you to continue to bless us as we go through our passages of the book of Ruth. There's so much spiritual truth couched in these passages. It's amazing. And Lord, we thank you that the characters, the typology of each and every character in this little book is clearly representative of a reality. We're just so thankful for that, Lord. You teach spiritual truth through your word. We love it, Lord, and we're grateful. In Jesus Christ's name, amen. Amen. Folks, let's sing one before we have our prayer meeting tonight. Let's stand and open up our hymnals to hymn 67. Just before we pray. And let's go first, second, and fourth. 67, Elvina Hall. Jesus paid it all, aren't you glad? We never could. Love that piano. I hear the Savior say, "My strength indeed it's small. Shall the weakness watch and pray, find in me thine all in all. Jesus paid it all, all to him I owe. Sin had left the crimson stain, washed in white as snow." Thank you, Lord. I find thy power and thy love can change the leper's spots and melt the heart of stone. Jesus paid it all, all to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain, white as snow. I love the fourth. And when we before the throne, I stand in Him complete. Jesus died my soul to save, my lips just to repeat. Jesus paid it all. He washed it white as snow. Amen. Praise the Lord. Those of you who can stay for prayer meeting, you're welcome. Those of you who can't, leave at this time.